It's an honor to have the stage here in front of you all, in this beautiful palace, in this amazing city of Amsterdam, celebrating 750 years. Thank you, Mayor Anne Hidalgo, for your inspirational speech. I was asked to speak about architecture, social cohesion, and the inclusive city, addressing, for me, the future of the city. I will give some international examples of my work and also in Amsterdam. And I hope with my speech that it will give inspiration for the city of the future, and especially for Amsterdam. First of all, I have to tell you, I'm an architect, and I need plaatjes, I need images. So you have to look at them. It's not the perfect spot to show plaatjes, but I will do. New Amsterdam. You also mentioned already. New Amsterdam, New York, the most inclusive city in the world, where you are free to think what you want to think and be who you want to be, was founded on Dutch values. Even kijken of dit gaat, ja. Those were the words of Tony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, in 2018, at the start of our transformation of New York's two biggest libraries on Fifth Avenue. With surgical precision, we restored the much-loved Research Library with its famous lines and its iconic Rose Main Reading Room. Here you can study unique collections such as handwritten names, list of migrants who once came to America. But you also have to go across the street. Have you been there? Because most people of the Netherlands know the other one with the two lines, but please cross the street. There's the Circulating Library. It's the most used by New Yorkers, and it was in a horrible condition and needed a good renovation, and we did it. It's now a pleasant, healthy, and safe place to read, to study, to learn a language, to borrow a laptop, to start a small business, to meet people, even to fall in love. And if you have no home, here's light, warmth, and the bathroom. This is where you can sit together at long tables. This is where the long room is with its circulating collection. We created this long room. Or stroll up, go up to the wizard hat on the roof. And they're extremely proud of it, the only rooftop in mid-Manhattan that is accessible for the public. Het tovenaarshoedje, wat we erop zetten. I take you with me to Washington, D.C. It's 1972. In the troubled city center of Washington, D.C., a library was designed by the famous architect Mies van der Rohe, which after much debate was named after Martin Luther King, who was assassinated in 1968. Decades later, it's in need of renovation. And the city center of D.C., dominated by ministries and federal buildings, now needs to become an attractive residential area. A good public library could be the powerful catalyst for such a transformation. In 2016, I had been many times in the Washington, D.C., but I visited the building for the very first time. Look at this image. It was taken by homeless people, and it was an amazing experience for me. They were all sitting in these Mies van der Rohe chairs. So it's a kind of contrast. The building's mid-century modern architecture was not at all popular by the public. The lobby resembled that of a high-end law firm rather than a lobby of a public library where everybody is welcome. Books enjoyed the daylight while people were sitting without natural light or any view. Ventilation was poor and unhealthy. En ook een heleboel TL-buizen, ja? Waarvan niemand wist hoe die uit moesten. Die stonden dus dag en nacht aan. 24 hours we had TL-lampen, ja? But that's not surprising for a building designed in the 60s. But then, for an architect, the big question now is how to deal with this listed building. It was a monument listed. We based our design on the timeless human and universal values of Martin Luther King, and be combined it with the spatial qualities of the existing architecture. We transformed the building by putting in beautiful monumental stairs, because the former stairs were very unpleasant. You felt them dangerous, asocial, that connects levels and functions of a modern library. Those stairs encourage people to take them, which is better health-wise, gives more social interaction and more serendipity in a country what normally always takes the elevator. Yes, so this was a big thing. Children can now whoosh down from the children's library on the first floor to the ground floor on a wooden slide. Here, you can see it. Look, we did it. Can you imagine a slide in a building of Mies van der Rohe? Now there are workplaces for self-employed people who cannot or do not want to work from home. They can get coaching from local entrepreneurs or get help to write a CV to increase their chances of getting a job. Important thing for Martin Luther King. There are exhibitions and research rooms about Martin Luther King and the Afro-American history of Washington, D.C. On the roof, there is now a new pavilion with an auditorium for lectures, debates, dance, and music. In the basement, we have the Fab Lab to record podcasts, edit music and film, and learn how to repair your laptop and print in 3D. I have to tell you, a library is not just about books. I have to tell this many, many times. It's also about learning how to fabricate things. That's a lot, the young generation often doesn't know how to do that. The new roof garden, you can see it on this picture, is a place to be and helps to reduce the heat stress of the city and to improve biodiversity, what you also just mentioned, what is so important for climate change. Imagine this roof was just asphalt, just tar before. I take you to Birmingham. The economic importance of libraries became clear to me in 2008 while working on the biggest library of Europe in Birmingham. Why I mentioned it here also in the Netherlands, because we always think that a library is for cultural things. No, it's very important for the economic development of your city, of your people. So I'm talking about economic importance. Birmingham, a city, you can see it here, has many identities. It's the most diverse city of the United Kingdom. Once a wealthy industrial city, very, very wealthy it was. But Birmingham has faced deep, deep decline and had to reinvent itself. The City Council of Birmingham stated, "The permanent development and education of our diverse population is crucial to Birmingham's future, the economy. A large library incorporating the city's rich archive stands as a symbol of that policy." And they selected us as their architect. When we were asked to design their library, I told them, of a people's palace. Design, we based it on the pedestrian flows of the city center, seducing people to go inside. In Centenary Square, that's just in front of the library, it's the square in the city center, we created a sunken outdoor plaza for storytelling, for poetry and music, in such a way that it sparks curiosity about what's happening inside the library, and again, seducing people to come inside the building. The aesthetics with the circular patterns on the facade and the rotundas inside were inspired by Birmingham's rich industrial history. The gardens, there are gardens on several terraces where children can see apples growing on trees and can experience the rich scents and colors of herbs. Maybe not only possible what you just mentioned, but also you have to be aware a lot of children have no clue anymore. They're not in contact with nature anymore. Seeing people of all skin colors sitting together in a harmonious way really moves me. Young people calling their friends, "You have to come to this library. You won't believe it. It's really the place to be. It makes me extremely happy. The building has given the Brummies, that's the name for people from Birmingham, Brummies, back their sense of identity and pride. It even featured on this postage stamp and a coin, and the public chose it as the best building in the UK. Made me also happy. Now I will talk about social cohesion, what is so crucial for a city. I often wonder, to stimulate social cohesion and personal development, could this not happen in many more places than rather just libraries? For example, couldn't the stations, the mobility hubs, play a much greater role in this? The city of Delft combined its central station with its municipal offices. We created, in addition to an iconic station hall, an inviting city hall for citizens with service counters, exhibitions and public events. Bent u al in Delft geweest met het mooie plafond? Just last week, the Wetenschappelijke Raad voor Regeringsbeleid, it's the Netherlands Scientific Council for Government Policy, advised that the city's social infrastructure is essential for people to take care of one another. That train stations, libraries and city halls should not only offer shelter in times of crisis, for instance when we had COVID, but also serve as places for everyday social connection. I totally agree with that. And in fact, I've seen this happen, and I will show that to you. For that, I take you to Taiwan, to Kaohsiung. This harbor city, which is comparable in size to the city of Rotterdam, was once a heavy polluted city and wanted to become a livable city, also what you mentioned for Paris, focusing on sustainable spatial planning with one clear priority: improving the quality of life for its residents. The railway line that once divided this tropical city was moved underground, and above ground became a beautiful linear park that reunites the two parts of the city. We designed Kaohsiung Station within our minds that this should not just a mobility hub, but also a community hub. We created an enormous canopy under which trains, metros, trams, buses, scooters and bicycles all come together. The canopy, with its remarkable ceiling, I like ceilings as you maybe understand, provides shelter from rain and sun while allowing the cooling ocean breeze to pass through, essential for a tropical city. People can now cycle and stroll across the roof, can you imagine this? That has become part of the linear park. Underneath the canopy, there is space for informal performances, yoga, and street dancing. The station is not only a place to depart from or to arrive at, it's also a place to be. I will now talk about affordable housing, and I'm still in Kaohsiung. Nowadays, affordable housing and loneliness are major challenges in cities. It's interesting how Kaohsiung deals with these issues. The affordable housing we designed is intended for teachers, police officers, and healthcare workers, also a big issue here in Amsterdam. People in professions that are essential to life in a city, they need a home. In Taiwan, the ground floor of residential buildings is always common or public. It's reserved space for a shared living room with a piano, a bookshelf full of books, a space for tutoring children, for bijles of je verjaardag te vieren, for cooking and also eating together and sharing a laundry. We also designed the residential building is a combination of private and shared balconies and rooftop gardens to encourage social cohesion within the community. Ja, nu wil ik niet weten, ik ga over balkonnetjes praten. Ja. Just imagine how wonderful it would be in the Netherlands if regulation allowed this as well. Under pressure from the enormous number of homes that need to be built, combined with financial constraints, residential buildings often have those unpleasant little balconies clinging to facades like diving boards, duikplankjes. Yeah. It's the cheapest way to build them. To me, they symbolize loneliness and the lack of social cohesion. I'm very serious about this. They remind us of post-war social housing, the time that identical houses were built on a large scale and which today no longer meet the needs of an increasingly diverse population. In two decades, because I work already for two decades in Taiwan and in Kaohsiung, I witnessed how Kaohsiung as a city transformed into a livable city by placing a healthy living environment, mobility, also the 50-minute city, public space and social housing at the heart of its urban development. It's such a good example for how it can be done. It's possible. Now we go back to Amsterdam, back to the Netherlands. Government buildings such as ministries and tax offices, don't forget about the belastingkantoren, yeah, should undergo a transformation from closed-off institutions to service-oriented ones. This could also help rebuild trust between the government and the citizens. It's a big, big issue nowadays. To make this possible, we should dare to expand the boundaries between public and secured areas in those buildings, because they're now all secured. They're like fortresses. The renovation of the Nederlandse Bank, it's the central bank in Amsterdam, is a good example of this approach, I will tell you. I will also tell you something about the history. In Amsterdam, the Paleis voor Volksvleit was destroyed in a fire in 1929. It was envisioned by physician, entrepreneur, and urban reformer Samuel Sarfati in 1864. Sarfati's vision, bringing together culture, economy, entrepreneurship, and science, was unique for its time. The Nederlandse Bank was built in its place, where the fire was, in 1968, so 100 years later. It was a modern and functional building with a massive vault for the storage of gold and cash. Architect Duintje drew inspiration from mid-century modern architecture in the United States, such as our Martin Luther King Memorial Library in Washington, D.C. So we knew how to deal with this kind of buildings. The building was also, I want to say, very unpopular by the public. It contrasted too much with the historic city center. It was designed originally as a transparent building, but over the years it has become more like a fortress, with fences, large boulders, and armed military police. De gewapende marechaussee die daar stond. Nowadays, the Nederlandse Bank wants to show that it's the central bank for all citizens, committed to financial stability, smooth and secure payment systems, and supervision of financial institutions. They relocated the storage of gold and cash outside the city. Our commission as architects was not only to renovate this heavily secured institution, but also to open it up to the city. I discovered that the memory of the Paleis voor Volksvleit still lived on the hearts of many people in Amsterdam. There were even ideas to rebuild it. Wim T. Schippers. Veel gesproken, ik heb gisteren ook rondgeleid. Dat is even leuk om te vertellen. Hij vindt nog steeds dat het teruggebouwd moet worden. But that was no option. But we took Sarfati's vision as a source of inspiration. And having walked around the building numerous times and exploring the surrounding area, I wondered whether it might be possible to reimagine the bank as more as a people's palace, a volkspaleis, within the urban fabric of the city. What if, I thought, what if we transform Frederiksplein into Frederikspark? Frederiksplein means square, and now I want to make it a park. Yeah? All the way to the Singelgracht, and place the entrance on this axis, because the axis used to be, maybe as you remember, on the West Einde or the Oost Einde, but not on the Frederiksplein. And then cutting straight through the vault, boom, yes? What if we transform the former vault, once the most secret part of the bank, into its most public part? What if we opened up the vault as a golden volume measuring 60 by 80 meters, because that was the size of the vault, complete with its imposing vault doors, so that when people pass by on their bikes or on the tram, they realize, hey, this is where the gold of the Netherlands used to be kept. Instead, it's now the place where people can experience exhibitions and interactive games telling the story of gold, money, how the economy works, and the central role of the Nederlandse Bank, because a lot of people have no clue what the Nederlandse Bank does, what the central bank does. Between the vault and the new city garden, where the round towers once stood, and we took that away, we have now the so-called street. I call it the street, it's the straat in Dutch. Ik weet niet of je er al bent geweest, maar dat is echt, it's enormous alive, you should all go there. You can all go there because it's public. It's a new public indoor space with tables and seating areas for studying, having a coffee, enjoying the art on the golden wall, or waiting to visit the exhibitions. A reception desk serves as an espresso bar, not as a police control point, but an espresso bar, for neighbors and visitors, but also functioned as the check-in point for guests before heading to the security zone. The fence, you remember the fence that was around the building, it was from Peter Struiken, that once closed off the bank has now become a gateway to the new public city garden. And also extremely interesting, lockers, managed by the Rainbow Group, have been installed here for homeless people. On the sunny quay along the Singelgracht, people can now enjoy the wooden deck that floats just above the water, perfect for cooling down during periods of heat stress in the city, what is such a big issue in all cities in the world. And this is an amazing picture. Look at it very well. The former double-height cash hall, with its beautiful columns, once the place where money was counted, has been transformed into a monumental reading room of 120 meters long, surrounded by the crowns of a tree. Maybe you recognize this. It's inspired by the Rose Main Reading Room from New York. So we brought things from Amsterdam to New York many, many years ago, but I brought also things from New York back to Amsterdam. The library now, this space, this reading room, serves as a daily workspace for staff. It's also suitable for special conferences and dinners, like the one we here have today. Yeah, so we could maybe also organize something like here. And I don't know, it's so beautiful. I was here this morning, again, because all the trees are on the same, the crowns of the trees. It's all surrounded by the, because this is a picture still in the winter, what you see, but it's, you should go there. But then you need a permit to go there. This article made me very happy. It's a newspaper from Amsterdam, yeah? And it says, Frederiksplein has a people's palace once again. It's Jaap Huisman wrote this in the newspaper of Het Parool. With the renovation, I'm just quoting him, with the renovation of the Nederlandse Bank, Sarfati's vision for the Paleis voor Volksvleit has been revived. The Nederlandse Bank has been transformed from a closed fortress into a publicly accessible meeting place and knowledge platform where economy, entrepreneurship, culture, and science come together. Made me also very happy. Yeah. And I feel that it works like that. I come to conclusion. In conclusion, the cities of the world will continue to grow. You also mentioned it. How can Amsterdam manage the planned addition of 70,000 homes? The risk is that it's mainly focused on numbers and financial feasibility. We should focus on many more issues. You mentioned it, Femke, you mentioned it. I'm just saying, what types of housing do we need to create for the diverse group that make up our cities? Students, first-time buyers, families, immigrants, the elderly, and even more. With on top of the growing number of single-person households for whom loneliness is a major issue. Eenzaamheid, and then my association with the balkonnetjes, yeah? How can we provide high-quality common and public spaces based on the idea that everyone matters, what I think is an important issue in the Netherlands? The city, what we learned from Birmingham, the city is its people, bound by social connection. Crucial, don't forget the economy, crucial for a healthy economy. And then I thought, maybe we should update the first slide I showed you, the 400-year-old sentence I started with today, that is based on the historical relationship with Amsterdam, with New Amsterdam. I give it a try. I'm sure that there's enough intelligence here in the audience to do it better than I do, but let's give me a try. Amsterdam, so this is for me for the future. Amsterdam, celebrated as the world's most inclusive city, where freedom of thought and identity are fundamental, has been built on core values as self-development, freedom of movement, equality, and mutual solidarity. Good architecture and thoughtful urban planning play a vital role in supporting and expressing those values. Congratulations, Amsterdam, on your 750th anniversary. May your legacy as a model for inclusive cities continue to inspire the world. Thank you.